Father, isn't he? Isn't God a great, wonderful God to be part of us and to allow us to be part of him? I had a great week last week. Anybody have a great week last week? Well, wait. I had a great Sunday last week. Anybody on that one? You know, it's Easter Sunday. We had 130 in church. I got together with you, and then I spent the afternoon with my daughter and friends and family and enjoying some meal and enjoying the time to, especially enjoyed the candy. I appreciate the candy, enjoyed the candy. So it was a great time, and it was a lot of fun. But then I had to live through a week. Anybody have to live through a week? I'm going to kind of talk about that. I want us to kind of think about that as we go through the message this morning. Last week, I began a sermon series called Snapchat with Jesus. Now, I go back a little ways to, anybody remember the little brownie camera? Come on now, some of you don't sit there and act like you don't know what a camera was, that little box, brown box. That was a camera, you know, and then we had Instamatic cameras. Anybody remember the Instamatic cameras? You know, a little bitty thin thing with a cube on top. Anybody remember those? Some of you guys are sitting there, you know, and then if you were lucky, you got one of those fancy Polaroid cameras. Anybody? You know, you push a button and it came out instantly, and it's there it goes. Wait, here it, you know, anybody? You know, we had those. In that way, it's all we have is these things. You know, we go somewhere and we see something. It's like, hey, I want a picture of that. Boom, boom. I want to be in the picture, you know? And then we send Snapchat. It's one of the apps that lets you mess with those pictures. I'm enjoying some of the Snapchats you are sending me. I'm not going to show them, but I have some very fun Snapchats where you kind of mess with the picture and stuff. But I've often wondered, what it would have been like if the disciples had a phone that took pictures? You know, maybe when, you know, Jesus, you know, the ladies, Jesus died on the cross, buried in the tomb, right, last week. Anybody remember last week? Put him in the tomb. The guys couldn't get it right, so the girls had to go and fix up how to bury him the correct way, go up the next morning to fix up what the guys had done the day before and a couple of days before. So they go in. I can imagine Peter running to the tomb, beat by John. John beat him there. He goes in and he takes this picture like this, and maybe his picture sends it back to the rest of the disciples. It's empty, you know. Here, you know, hey, look what I found. You know, he's gone. You know. And then as time goes by, maybe a week later, you know, it is a week later, and the disciples are together, and Thomas is kind of set there. In the week, they told him, hey, he's alive. We've seen him. We've talked with him. He's alive. He really is. And Thomas, hey, I got to see it myself. I could see Thomas in that room the next week going, maybe sending something like this. You know, my Lord, my God, he's in Israel. He's alive. But not only did Jesus die, but before he died, guess what? He did miracles. Anybody? We're going to talk about those next week. I'm going to talk about, how do you have a miracle? You want to have a miracle? We're going to talk about, you know, is there a form? How do we get miracles? So we're going to kind of look at God's word and see if there's how Jesus did miracles and how we can plug into the miracles. But he also was a teacher. He taught. But I kind of thought as they walked around, maybe Andrew or Matthew or one of them, he might have Facebooked something like this, you know, Snapchat. Off to Galilee, you know, just again, here we go, you know, dusty roads. But I want to talk about Jesus the teacher. Yes, we know about his miracles, and yes, we about him rising from the dead. We read the stories of the lame and the blind, and we see all that. But I think so often we neglect the aspect that Jesus was a teacher. He came to teach and to show us the way to God. He came so that we could know the truth, and the truth will set us free. He came to explain those things for us. And so when the crowds gathered around him, he began to teach. Here, the Sermon on the Mount. Anybody familiar with that one? Matthew chapter 5. Look what it says. Get out. Let me encourage you there. You can follow along with those. He says this, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. He began to teach them. Teachers have a great impact in our lives. Teachers have great influence in our lives. We got some teachers in our church that go to church. I'm on the school board. I work with various teachers, and it's very honorable and a very precious and a great profession to be in, is to be a teacher. And Jesus was a teacher. But maybe, as I was writing the message, I was thinking back over my life and some of my teachers. Maybe you had some teachers. Maybe you remember. Yeah, I remember a second grade teacher. I don't remember her name, but phonics. Anybody remember phonics? You know, I remember trying to learn phonics. I remember my second grade teacher. Or I remember my sixth grade teacher, and we went up to camp, and we did things up there. I got to map out this trail as a Boy Scout, and I got to take a compass and map out the trail on this sixth grade teacher. I don't remember their name, but I remember the name of the school, Bowling Green. I remember going to Bowling Green. As I thought about it, what's really interesting, I don't remember my teachers, but I do remember Mr. Bones, the principal, because I spent a lot of time with him. Anybody know that one? You know, anybody know? You can't remember the teachers, but you know the principal really well. You know, it's like, I remember the principal. Yeah, yeah. But I kind of reflected back, you know, going into high school. I can remember in high school, PE teacher. He was an ex-Marine. Big PE teacher. It was probably the healthiest and the best physical condition I'd ever been in. He never cut us any slack. You ever climb? Anybody remember climbing the rope? Do they do climb the rope in school still? No? Yeah. But I remember I never could climb. When I had him as my PE teacher, guess what? I could climb the rope. You know, I don't remember his name, but I remember him. Yeah. But then I go on to college, and Dr. Hyatt, yeah, rated the most likely to fail somebody, you know, in college. You know, the paper I got, you know, when you're graduating, you know, most likely to fail. And then I had, remember, Mr. and Mrs. Jennings, not some of the best teachers. Really, they weren't some of my best teachers. But the one thing I knew about them is they prayed by name for every student every week. They might not have been the best teacher, but there was something about them. And I remember Dr. Charles McKay, evangelism professor. Remember Dr. Hornicker when I worked on my doctorate degree. I remember one of my professors, we called him Bloodfinger. Anybody have a teacher like that? Because when he corrected your paper, when you got your paper back, it looked like he cut his finger and just bled all over it. You know, it had red marks everywhere. Dr. Herrick, we called him Bloodfinger in school. Yeah. Teachers have influence in our life. Teachers make an impact in our lives. Teachers are important to us. Well, Jesus was a teacher. Jesus taught the truth. The truth that's going to set us free. And so he gathered on this mountainside and he began to teach, whether it was on the mountainside or the synagogues or in the marketplace or the temple or standing in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, speaking to the crowd that's sitting there on the seashore. Jesus spoke and he taught. So I want us to think about Jesus the teacher. So the first thing I put here is I think about Jesus the teacher. I wrote this. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a great teacher. Made the complex simple. He could communicate the message so that we could understand. He made the truth real and something that we could appreciate. Jesus was that great teacher. Look at what it says. Even at age 12, look at what it says. It describes this 12-year-old boy whose parents thought he was lost, but they finally go back to the temple and they find him. And listen what they wrote about him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus was this great teacher, this great communicator, expounding and explaining the truths of the Old Testament, of God's teachings and God's words. Even his detractors, even those who didn't like him, even those who didn't want to be a part of him, who were attacking him, listen to what they said. The Jews, therefore, marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" John 7:15. He's saying, listen, this guy's never went to one of our Jewish schools. He's never followed some of us great rabbis. And yet he teaches as one who has this great understanding. How can this be? Even his detractors seeing that Jesus was this great teacher. And then when you read the scriptures and you see him teaching and you see, he would tell stories. On the occasion when he's teaching on prayer, he talks about, you know, here's these two guys, this Pharisee and this tax collector come to church. And as they're talking and then they come in the inner church and one stands and begins to praise God. Thank you, God, I'm not like this Pharisee, this tax collector over here. I'm not like this guy. The Pharisee was praying. And the tax collector is saying, God, have mercy on me. And as they were praying, Jesus said, what's the point? Who's there? Who's going to go away? God. He would tell stories to communicate the message. He would paint pictures as he would tell the stories. And he would illustrate these stories. He would ask questions. I think one of the marvelous things, when people came to Jesus trying to trap him, trying to get answers, he would ask him, well, what do you think? What's on your mind? Which is the greatest commandment of all? Well, what do you think? How do you think it should go? He asked questions. He painted pity. He told stories. He taught with this great, people could grasp and people could understand that complex stories of God and those complex pictures of God were made simple pictures. Story, as they're sitting there and he's talking about coming to God and growing in Christ, and he's sitting there, look at the hill over there. There's some guy throwing seeds, and that's kind of like God scattering seeds. Let me tell you how that works. See, and he'd paint these pictures that the people could see. Jesus was this great teacher that astonished people, that they could see and they could hear. And as he taught all this, look at how it lines up Matthew chapter 7. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. He amazed them. They were marveled. They were astonished because of his communication skills. Jesus taught the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they were amazed by that. Jesus was teacher. But I also want to make sure you notice something else about Jesus, the great teacher, but he was also a good teacher. Jesus was also a good teacher. Now, when I'm saying that, I want to make sure I paint a picture here of this one, just like Jesus did. When I'm saying Jesus was a good teacher, I'm not talking about the quality of his teaching. I'm talking about the quality of him. Because Jesus, what we would say as a pastor, he practiced what he preached. You guys know that one. Jesus lived it out. He didn't get up and say, here's what you do, now I'm going to go do this over here. When he taught them something, he lived it out. He practiced what he preached. He told those stories, but it was part of who he was. It was part of his life. The guy came to him. Look at what it says here. And as we were setting out on the journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. He's sitting there saying, what are you calling me good? He was the great teacher. He was good. His character, his attitude, his actions matched the message that he was proclaiming, the words that he was speaking. It all matched. Have you ever had somebody tell you something, but they're not living it out? Anybody? You know, they're trying to, you need to, da, 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 and then they go out and do whatever they want. Anybody ever had somebody like that in their lives? But that wasn't Jesus. Jesus came along and Jesus says, listen, we got to forgive everyone. You got to forgive everyone. Then when he's nailed on the cross, what does he say? The guys that put the nails through him, the guys that put the crown on his head, the guys who whipped him, the guys who stabbed him. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He taught forgiveness and he practiced forgiveness. He had compassion. He's out teaching and the people are hungry. He sees it's late and there's no food. And it says he had compassion as he taught on compassion. So they fed him. He had compassion and he healed. Jesus lived out his message. He lived out those words. He lived out those practices. He talked about humility, and yet when he rode into Jerusalem as a king, he rode in on what? A donkey. Palm Sunday, just 2 weeks ago, if you want to know. Yeah. He rode in on a donkey. He said humility. He lived out what he said. He said, love others. Love others. Love everyone. Love your enemy. He said, love others. And he travels to an area called Samaria where the Jews hated the Samaritans. They were half-breeds. They were no good. Not only was this, I love this story. I want you to get a picture. This is Jesus and his teaching. And he practiced it. He sits there and says, we need to love everyone. And he takes his people right through, his disciples, on this journey from Nazareth to to Jerusalem, right through the middle of Samaria. They usually go around. And he's tired, so he sits down. Go get me some food. So he sits there for a little while, and a lady from Samaria comes out. All right, now this is love. Now you got to listen to the picture here that Jesus is practicing what he's teaching. A Samaritan woman, all right? First, she's a Samaritan, which is bad. The second, she's a woman who comes out to the well by herself. That should tell you something, all right? Most of the ladies would get up and say, hey, let's go get water. The whole neighborhood walks out together. Yeah. Everybody on the street, we're all going up to get water. This lady came out by herself. I wonder why. Well, then later on, as you read the story, she had seven husbands. You think some of the other ladies might be a little worried about her? Yeah. Jesus says, love everyone. Yeah. Zacchaeus, a tax collector. Everybody ready for their taxes, right? You got a few more days. Hint, hint. Yeah. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, wanted to see Jesus. Nobody would let him in. Nobody let, you know, a little bitty guy. He wouldn't squeeze through. Had to climb a tree. Jesus says, love everybody. He says, I'm going to have dinner at your house today. See, he practiced what he taught. He practiced what he said. That love, that forgiveness, that compassion, he practiced those things. He didn't teach it. So he was not only a great teacher, he was a good teacher. He taught what he said. I like what he says here in Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He said, now listen, God has anointed me as this teacher. I'm going to live it out. I'm going to practice it. I have grace. We have love. We have forgiveness. I'm going to communicate. I'm going to make the complex simple. I'm going to show you the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus was this great teacher. Everybody on board? Everybody get this picture? Jesus was this great teacher. So here's my question. What impact does he have? He impacted that Samaritan woman. It changed her life. He impacted Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the despised, Jewish individual. It changed his life. It changed Peter's life. It changed Matthew, Nathaniel, Andrew, Thomas, James, two James, James Les, James. It changed their lives. See, his message is truth, and it sets you free. So I want to ask you, has it changed your life? Does it make a difference in you? Is this just some 2,000-year-old man who taught some great stuff? Is it just, you know, as I thought about Jesus, the great teacher, I thought about, is it just great suggestions? Good ideas? Food for thought? Things to reflect on? I really started thinking about this. Because I look at my life. I look at who I am and where I am in life. And he made a difference in my life. At 17 years old, he changed my life. I talked about my school days. I hated school. I hated school so much that when I got a chance, I'd go get on my motorcycle and then fish at the river. All right? You know, I wish this wasn't the first Sunday when kids are with us. Go to school. Go to class. I hated school too. I hated school. I did. I hated school. But at 17 years old, something happened in my life that changed. It transformed me. That message that Jesus had been sharing that finally connected with my cousins brought me to church. That good news of Jesus Christ, it changed something to where I enjoyed school. I can't explain that. I hated school. Didn't want to go. Literally. You know, you're 18, you could sign your own written minutes. I remember going into the office to sign my, she goes, you can't do that. I said, I'm 18. Here it is. That God changed that. I go off to junior college, go get a master's, and even got a doctorate degree. I go back now, they'd go, not you. God changed things. Took a kid who had really no direction in life, no purpose, no meaning. You know, yeah, I wanted to be a cop. Many of you have been on my journey. I wanted to be a cop, a sharpshooter on the SWAT team. I wanted to shoot somebody. Yeah. But God changed all that. You know my motto verse. Philippians 4:13, right? Come on. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I believe that verse. See, he changed the Samaritan woman. He changed that kiss. He changed Nathaniel and Thomas. He changed Matthew and Andrew and Philip. He changed John. He changed James the Less and James the Great. He changed Peter and he changed Simon and he changed Judas. Didn't last very long, though. He changed Jude. He changes lives. He changes lives. See, it goes back to that principle. I kind of laid the foundation last week. Because this is my belief. That God created everything. Anybody on board? That God created everything. And he created a great, big, beautiful world we call the Garden of Eden. And then Adam and Eve messed it up. Right? Anybody remember the story? Adam and Eve messed it up. And it's a messed day. And sometimes Gary's life is a mess. But here's the problem. Adam and Eve didn't mess Gary's life up. Who messed Gary's life up? Gary did. These kids got it. Gary messes Gary's life up. I lived in a messed up world, but I don't have to live messed up. See, I believe God created this world to be a place of joy and peace. Anybody? I believe God created a world. He called it a Garden of Eden until it got messed up. Well, you know what God wants to do? God wants to set it right. Right? See, one of my things as pastor, one of my things, I've always believed that God wants us to enjoy life. I don't think God created this and say, I'm going to create Gary, and then I'm going to torture him all his life. Let's see, how can I tweak the little knife now? How can I stick him? I don't think that's God. We all have, like I said, I had great expectations this week. I tell you every week when we walk out this bell, I'll stand in the back and I tell you, have a great week, I'm going to, right? You guys hear that? Well, guess what? I didn't have a great week. Anybody? I had a week from, can I say it? I had a week from you know where. You know? And here I'm saying God wants us to enjoy life, and I have a week from, well, look, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Whoa. See, that's what Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is sitting there saying, listen, Satan, this world, this messed up world wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. But I've come to set it right. I want you to have that abundant life. But anybody? You know, Laura and I are going to go see our granddaughter's going to promote, so we're going to go up to Washington and we're going to go into Canada. Well, you can't get into Canada unless you have a... You want to try to get one of those things? You know? So my week started out Monday. We were supposed to go to San Francisco. That didn't happen. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we take our paperwork. I grab my stuff off my desk, run downtown to the county records office, just put my paperwork in, and somehow I left one of the envelopes at home with the birth certificates. It ain't going to fly now. And I needed a paper notarized. So I go to my bank to get my paper notarized. But guess what? They're not notarizing anymore. I wasted an hour and a half. I didn't have an hour and a half to waste. Anybody? Then now Friday morning we get up. I get my work done. 2 hours I had to do this. I had to do an ethics training. I'm a preacher. I live above reproach. I do mess up. But I had 2 hours. So if we go back downtown, all right, you got your paperwork, got all my paperwork. You got a check? What do we need a check for? I got a credit card. Oh, we don't take those. Not only do you need a check, but you need two different ones, okay? You need one for the federal government, and then you need one county, all right? So now we got to go find a bank. And I'm going to tell you, Chase don't have a branch downtown Modesto. You know, so we're going to go to a hospital. So we go over there. Laura, I sit out in the car. Laura goes in and she goes, there's two tellers and 12 people in line. Anybody have a week? I thought God said life's supposed to be good. I thought life's supposed to be fun. Now, here's what I want to tell you. I don't believe I have bad days, all right? But I have days that are not so good, all right? See, a bad day for me is sin. Anybody? Sin is a bad day. Not so good is when things don't go right. Now, do I blame the county? Steal, kill, and destroy my joy. The county tried to steal, kill, and destroy my joy. All week long. I don't, county. Can I get mad at the lady there at the counter? Why didn't you tell me on the first day? Why did I go? I would have brought the check the next time. Does God make a difference? See, I think the world is supposed to be a joy and it's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to enjoy this life. Sin messes it up. But I'm going to tell you, sin is a battle. But you know where the biggest battle for me is? It's called Gary. Anybody? I'm my own worst enemy. You know? Whose fault was it for leaving the envelope at home with the birth certificates? Laura's. No, I'm the one that went and got them, but she should have reminded me, right? Come on. Yeah. Who's our worst enemy? Yeah. I don't need anybody to get me in trouble. I don't need anybody. Now, some of you might not recognize this, but this goes way back. I'm getting old, not there yet. Nobody needs to push Gary out of the frying pan. Gary jumps out of the frying pan into the fire. Anybody ever hear that saying? Some of you kids are going, I have no idea what he's talking about. See? I see the heads going, I have no idea. Yep. No idea. It means I caused my own trouble. It's my fault. See, most of our trouble in life is whose fault? Can I blame the devil? The devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Can I blame my wife? No.
Yeah.
I blame my parents. They raised me wrong.
Yeah.
Whose fault is it? That's right. I got a helper up here, Laura.
Yeah.
See, Jesus came to teach us the joy and the abundant life. But we met. And so I want us to think about that for a minute. Because here's the two things that Jesus taught me that I pray that he teaches others. Because as a pastor, this is really what I want you to know, the joy of being a Christian. I am having a great life. Did I have a bad week? Yes. But you know what? No, I didn't have a bad, not so good week. Because I don't believe in bad weeks. You need to know. I don't believe in bad days. Some things just don't go right. But life has got the paperwork done. It's done. It's in there. 6 weeks from now, hopefully, I'll get the right back. I don't think I got anything bad in my history. But life is a joy. So here, I got two things real quick. Jesus taught me what I need to know to have an abundant life. As I read God's word, as I read these scriptures, as I see Jesus and his teachings, you know, there's four biographies on Jesus. I want to make sure you get a picture. We talk about I want you to think about four biographies of Jesus, okay? Don't just say the Bible. These four guys wrote story about Jesus. They followed him. They were with him. They talked to those that were with him. And they wrote four biographies of Jesus. All right? It's called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes, they're in the Bible, but they're biographies of Jesus. And you read those. And I love the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus is sitting there just laying it all out. It's like, here's what you need to know. You know, if you want that abundant life, if you want that life of joy and peace, here's what you need to know. And he lays out these teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there's more, but I really enjoy this Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's, just to give you a hint, you want to do some homework? Go home this week and read Matthew chapter 5 through the end of chapter 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And they're just great teachings of Jesus as he taught the people. And it's really all you really need to know. Because see, that's what he came for, and that's what he wants to teach us. But it's based on this simple principle that God loves me. See, this is what I know. I know that God loves me. And I want to tell you something else. You know what else I know? Yes, Laura loves me. She has to, or she wouldn't be with me. But I'm going to tell you something else. God loves you. Every one of you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you did. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what excuse you want to give. I want to tell you something. God loves you. I know that. Look at what it says. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Anybody recognize this one? That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Why don't you circle that word, eternal life? See, I'm going to use the word abundant life that he used over in John 10:10. because I think he's talking life, okay? I want to make sure you get a picture here. I think he's talking about the same life. Eternal life and abundant life are the same life. See, the thing I want to make sure you point out here, so often we talk about eternal life, we look to the future. It's, I'm going to live forever in heaven with God. That's eternal life. Well, eternal life has also began when I was 17 years old. My eternal life began. That abundant life began. So I want to make sure you get a picture here. That's not going to wait to have a good life until I die and go to heaven. I want to have a good life now. Anybody? And that's what God wants for us. Because he loves us. It's not, well, what can I do to mess Gary's day up? Well, I'm going to make those papers just slide off and kind of fall over there so they don't see them. Anybody? I'm going to put a driver in front of him that will drive him crazy. God does that stuff. See, I think God wants us to have that abundant life. When something's going to steal my joy, kill my peace, and destroy my life, I know who's causing that. It's going to be one of two things, the devil or Gary. That's right. And we need to wrestle with that, and we need to see that eternal life, that God loves us. I know that God loves me. He loves me. And I also know that God has just one simple thing for me to do. That's it. Look at what it says. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Just to kind of give you a little hint, those are quotes from the Old Testament. Jesus didn't write those himself. He just quoted the Old Testament. The book of Deuteronomy, the book of Leviticus have those quotes in there if you want to know where they're at. See, that's all I know. All I know is, let me make it real simple. Here's what I know. God wants a relationship. That's all. It's all about relationship. Now, I'm older now. I'm a little more mature now. And I'm going to tell you what matters in life. Some of you younger ones, listen to this. What matters in life? It's not the stuff you get. It's not the stuff you have. It's not the stuff you want. You know what matters in life? Relationships. Anybody? That's what matters in life. It's those you love. Why did I enjoy Easter so much last week? Because I was here with you guys. Because after I left here, I went to my daughter's house. And at my daughter's house, there was friends and there was family. And we had a great time. Why? Because of relationships. Love God. Love others. That's what God wants. How often, you know, as a pastor, I go to the hospital and somebody is passing away. I never heard anybody say, hey, Gary, go out there and get a picture of my car. I want to see that before I die. I've never heard that. I've heard somebody say, would you call so-and-so and let them know that I love them? I've heard that. Would you tell so-and-so? See, I heard that. See, we need to understand. Jesus taught me what I need to know. What I need to know is it's all about relationships. It's all about loving one another and being with one another and sharing life and sharing its journeys. It's about giving each other a bad time, okay? I was given some bad time this morning. It's sad. We got Giants fans in this church. You know? Dodger Blue, come on! You know? It's about giving one another. Isn't that what it's about? Isn't that what life's about? Relations, teasing and aggravating and journeying together. Isn't that what life's about? Come on. Don't sit there like bumps on a log. Am I right? You know? It's not baseball. It's football. You know, I'm going to tell you, does it really matter? You know, some are shaking their head. No, it doesn't. I did root for the Giants. I really wanted the World Series and the Super Bowl trophy to be in the same city. So I did at that one time root for the Giants, okay? Yeah. But it's fun. Isn't it fun to tease one another? Anybody? I like aggravating. Maybe I'm doing that right now. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Because that's what, it's about relationships. That's what I've learned from God. It's not about all this stuff, you know. I got to get a good job. I want to make a lot of money. I want a bigger home. I want a newer car. I want that 80-inch TV now. I got a 60-inch TV. Thanks to somebody gave me a 60-inch TV. Now I want an 80-inch. really don't. I don't have room for it. But is that why we always want bigger, better, newer, right? Don't you love TV commercials? Nothing's ever the same. It's always new and improved. Watch the commercial on TV. Nothing's ever... Same old recipe. No, it's new and improved. But what I've learned is, it's about relationship. That teacher, that great good teacher, that master teacher taught us truth. And it sets you free to live and to enjoy life. You get caught up in all that stuff. Let me tell you, have you ever got something you really wanted? You really worked hard, you saved, you bought it, and it broke as soon as you got it. Steal your joy, kill your peace, destroy your... Anybody? Come on, the devil. I had to have it. Whatever we got, this is my... I tore it apart. Got something for Christmas? Okay, how does it work? Anybody ever give somebody and they break it as soon as they get it? Yeah. See, God wants us to enjoy life. So all I need to know, he's taught me. I'm going to tell you, all you need to know, God has taught you. Okay? All you need to know is found in those four biographies. Now, the rest of the Bible helps, okay? You need to read all of it. But if you read those four biographies, you're going to get the story. You're going to get the message. But not only did it teach me all I need to know, I put it this way too. Jesus taught me all I need to do an abundant life. He taught me everything I need to do to have an abundant life. Okay, I want to be real clear here. All right? I don't do anything to get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody on board with that? For by grace are you saved through faith, that is not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is a free gift of God. It is a gift. That invisible line, you hear me, week out, there's an invisible line. There's a point in life when I was 17, and maybe you made it, I don't know when, or maybe you need to make it. There's a point in life where you go, you know, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. My life's out of control. My life's messed up. Whatever. I need to cross that invisible line and turn my life over to God. That's a free gift. But once I cross that line, there's some things I do because I've crossed that line. Look at what it says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not if you're afraid of me. Not if you don't want me to drop a ton of bricks on you. Not if you don't want me to hurt you. If you love me, which is a relationship word, isn't it? It's all about relationship. But then, because I am his child now, there's some rules. Now, I grew up in... Anybody ever grew up in a home? Man, you guys are all homeless people? Man, I got a church of homeless. Yeah. I grew up in a home, and my home had house rules. Anybody? We had house rules. Don't stick stuff in the light sockets, okay? Anybody? You know? Don't stick anything in your ear bigger than your finger. Anybody? You know? We had rules, okay? You know? Some dumb rules. All right? Be in by midnight. All right? You know? You shouldn't hang out with that person. I don't want you going over to that house. We had dumb... Anybody? Anybody have those dumb rules? And then you get to be a parent, and guess what? You know, when you were a kid, I'm never going to do that to my kids. And then you're a parent, and guess what? In by midnight. You're 3 minutes late, 3 days grounded. My daughter, for 3 minutes. 3 days. Ask Jennifer. You know, I don't want you hanging around then. They're a bad influence. I did the same thing. Why do we have house rules? You know, it's kind of like God. I'm in God's house. I am part of God's family. I'm an adopted child of God. Now I got some house rules. Now here's, I want to say it this way. I don't do them to get into heaven. I do them so I can have heaven on. Now, did you hear me? I think that's good. I don't do the things God says to get into heaven. I do the things God says because I want heaven on earth. Isn't that prayer in the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We think that's something in the future. I think that's something today. I think that's God trying to fix the world today. I think that's Jesus Christ saying the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have it abundant. I think that's what that's about. See, that's how I see God working. That's how I see God moving. I don't earn heaven, but because I'm part of God's family, I want to do these things because I want an abundant life. When Gary's life gets messed up, I've told you it's Gary's fault. It was really interesting this week. I was watching the news, and there's one of these TV host shows that it's a bunch of ladies, I can't remember the name, but a bunch of ladies are talking, and they were talking about one of our political candidates, and he's saying some, and here's what this guy's word, crazy values. He called this guy's values crazy. You know what those values were? God's values. See, the world thinks our values are crazy. But let me ask you something. You know, the Bible says, and here's Jesus' teaching. Jesus sitting there on the mountainside, teaching the disciples, and all of them gathered around, Sermon on the Mount. He says, you know, you've heard murder's wrong. And they're all going, yeah, we've heard. You guys bounce your heads. Yeah, we've heard. Let me tell you something. If you're angry, you've sinned. Whoa. Jesus says, I sat on the mountainside, okay? Now you heard adultery wrong, right? Everybody bounce your head, yep. We've heard adultery's wrong. But if you look at another person, this is for guys more, but women are just getting as bad now as the guys were. If you look at another one lustfully, you have sin. Now does that sound crazy to you? Because see, I ask this. When has anything good come out of anger in Gary's life? I can't think of one incident when anger was very successful in Gary's life. I can't think of one positive thing in Gary's life that's come from pornography. Anybody? Yeah. You read God's word and, you know, don't divorce. Divorce is bad. Anybody that's been through divorce, has it been a fun experience? I went through divorce and it was a joy. See, Jesus wants that peace and joy, and the devil wants to destroy. So it sounds crazy to the world. It doesn't sound crazy. I don't want any regrets. I don't want to have to worry about regret and, oh man, I can't believe. I got enough of that trash already. See, I see God sitting there saying, listen, I want you to have that abundant life, not just eternal life as the length of life, but eternal life as an abundant life. That there's joy and peace in your life. My dad and my sister-in-law would always joke like this, and she would go, she always worried about some girl knocking on the door saying that she's my brother's daughter. My sister-in-law always said that. You know what? My wife never has to worry about somebody knocking on the door and saying, hey, I'm Gary's child. Isn't that nice to have that peace? Make mistakes. That's why God's grace. That's why God has mercy. You know, I am so glad God is a God of second chances. But wait a minute. Third, fourth, fifth. I'm glad God is a God of grace and mercy. Because we all mess up. We all. But God wants us to have that abundant life. He wants us to enjoy life. Look at what it's, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You get it? See, there's grace and truth. That's what God wants you to have. Can you imagine walking with the disciples and Snapchat and stuff like this? Another miracle. A wonderful talk. I got a paper at home, and I got it for the research of my last Christian digital citizenship, tweets from Jesus. It was really neat to look at some of, you know, Jesus got some wonderful little tweets out there. See, that's what God wants us to have. So I want to ask you, what kind of life are you living? Where are you? Now I'm going to tell you, we're going to have weeks like I had, and you probably had I talked to somebody else and yesterday as I was walking over here and they were talking about their bad week. We've all been in that boat. But listen, with Jesus, there's a solid foundation. Jesus wraps up the Sermon on the Mount with these words. I want you to look at this and think about this for your life. Because this is how Jesus wraps up the Sermon on the Mount, this great teaching. Listen to what he says here. It's in your outline. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, he's describing that abundant life. You get the picture? He's describing that eternal life. And the rain and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I had rains this week. Anybody? I had a storm. Anybody? Not an easy week. Bad on Sunday morning. I'm here. I'm here with you in the presence of God. Because that's my foundation. And I'm going to stand upon that foundation. I don't know what this next week's going to bring. I'm excited. You need to know it. I'm going to tell you as you walk out again, have a great week. I'm going to, because I plan on having a great week. That's my plan. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to go. But I'm going to have a great week. I do got to go to the doctor again. They're going to clean my ears. I didn't know, the nurse is going to clean my ears. They say don't stick a Q-tip in. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Storms are going to come. I wish they didn't. I wish I didn't have to worry about it. I wish there was no concern about this week. But here's what I do know. I'm going to stand upon the truth of the master teacher and let it come. Because I am safe in his hands. Are you safe in the hands of God? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a mighty God, a God who loves us abundantly and shows mercy. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're in some storms right now. Maybe life has beaten you up, and maybe your foundation has been shaken, or maybe you just want some prayer about some things going on. If you just shoot your hand up, I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. I see those. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those in the midst of storms, in the midst of battles. The waves are coming, and life is in turmoil. But you are the foundation. Lord, I ask you to strengthen that foundation. Let them stand secure in your love and in your grace and in your mercy. Not in our own strength, not in our own might, Lord, but in the might of God, where all things are possible, where I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Lord, you strengthen them, encourage them emotionally, Lord, as these battles come, the frustrations, the aggravation, the turmoil, Lord, and physically, Lord, that they can just stand in your presence. Lord, we want to be a people built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that when life throws its worst at us, we stand the strongest because of the truth of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.